If you have your Bibles, turn with me in them to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we'll read verses 1 through 17, the whole chapter. Starting in verse 1, this is God's word. May He add His blessing to the reading and expounding of it. Now we request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him, that you not be quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed either by a spirit or a message or a letter as if from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first. And man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. Do you not remember that while I was still with you, I was telling you these things, and you know what restrains him now, so that in his time he will be revealed. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work, only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. Then that lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end by the appearance of his coming. That is, the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders, and with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false, in order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness. But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. It was for this He called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter from us. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace, comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word. That is God's word. Well, the second chapter opens acknowledging that some among the church had been when Paul wrote this, had been shaken spiritually because there was news that the day of the Lord had come, that Christ maybe even had returned. And Paul exhorts them not to be deceived by such news because it's false. And he proceeds to communicate to them what must happen first, what has to take place first before the day of the Lord happens. That the great apostasy must happen and the man of lawlessness must be revealed. And Paul communicates that those two things have not happened yet. And he goes on in verses 4 through 12 to communicate them to them who this man of lawlessness is and the questions that we still have today. He tells them the man's name, the man of lawlessness. He's a wicked man and promotes wickedness in others, which leads to their destruction. His character is given. He opposes the authority of the Lord and exalts himself, much like an example that we might see how this might look is you look at the Pope of Roman Catholicism, who practically demands honor, the honor that God Himself deserves. And he exalts himself even above governing authorities. His rise is given. At the time of the great apostasy in connection, it seems, with Satan being loosed for a time. Now we know that he's in bondage. Revelation 20 shows us this, but there will be a time when he is loosed. And that's when the man of lawlessness will come. And his fall is given. And the Lord Jesus will kill him with the breath of his mouth, with his word, and bring him to nothing at the second coming of Christ. His reign is given, in which he will be empowered by the devil to do false signs and false wonders, like it says in verse 10, with all the deception of wickedness. And the sin and ruin of his subjects are described. The subjects are those who did not receive the truth so as to be saved. Having had God send upon them a deluding influence, a hardening of heart like Pharaoh had, so that they will believe what is false and they'll be judged accordingly and eternally. Well, may that not be any here who are deceived. May we not be gullible as to think that the day of the Lord has come. And may we not be deceived like the subjects of this man of lawlessness, who had heard the gospel, had heard the truth, and yet they did not receive it. Is there anyone here who has heard the truth over weeks and weeks and years of your life and never received the word? If that's you and you continue in that way, you will be destroyed eternally. You will not be saved. But if you turn to Jesus and believe the gospel, you will be saved. And as Paul ends this chapter with consolation, with comfort and calling the beloved saints to give thanks for their salvation in Christ, which was brought about because God chose them from the beginning. And you should be thinking about Ephesians 1, which we've been looking at in the evenings, Ephesians 1, 4. God chose us. So let's, Christians, stand firm. Though the day of the Lord has not come, it will come. Jesus said, "Yes, I am coming soon." Many times in the end of Revelation, he said that. So stand firm. While you wait, look toward heaven. Store up your treasures in heaven, not of this world. Remember what you have been taught. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. The word that brings life and a word that destroys. The word that will destroy for eternity this man of lawlessness, and it will destroy every single person, past, present, and future, goes before the Lord, the throne on that last day, the great judgment. Your word will destroy. Though we cry out, "Lord, Lord," there might be some, even here, who cry out, "Lord, Lord." He will say, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." They'll be cast down. Punishment for eternity. So, Lord, we know that your word is powerful. It gives life, but it also destroys for eternity. And you give life through the Word, through Jesus, that He is the way, the truth, and the life, that He is the door, He is the good shepherd. Father, we thank you for your Word, which even you sent your Son to die on the cross, that those who believe in the Word will not perish but have everlasting life. And so we know that you have loved us, because for your people you have saved us. You've sent your Spirit to change us, that we are to be receptive of your word now. And we can hear you speak, and we can believe it, because you have given us the gift of faith. You've given us grace, all because of your word, through your word. For how can we believe unless we have heard your word? And Father, we pray as each day we come closer and closer to the day when Christ will return. And each day as we come closer and closer to this loosening of Satan and the man of lawlessness and the great apostasy, that no one here would be among the number of who who would commit apostasy. And none would be here who have come to church for all their lives and come and worshipped for all their lives, only to deny you. Ones who really had no true faith. That we're not planted on the good soil. We pray that every single person here would be planted on the good soil and grow and produce fruit for your glory. And Father, as the day draws near, we pray that we would not lose hope to think that, or to doubt that you will not return. Even those who are older among us, and even if all of us die during this life and you have not returned yet, Lord, let us not lose hope. Because the dead in Christ will rise first. So Father, we come asking for your comfort, for you to cover us with the shelter of your wings, because we are a people who constantly are discouraged, some who are so discouraged that they become depressed. Father, cause us to believe in the promises. Cause by your Spirit to work in us, to strengthen us not only in our bodies but in our souls, in our minds, that we would know that you are faithful. Know that you are faithful to your covenant promises, that because of Christ, we will not be cursed, but we will be blessed. Father, give us joy as we think of the gospel. And how you chose us before the foundation of the world. Lord, give us great joy as we sing your praises, as we hear your word, and as we pray. Because of all of our prayers and all of our singing and all of our hearing should be a praising of you. May you be given all glory. Give us joy in our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.